mercy endureth forever. Let's try it again. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. The Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Well, praise God. God is good. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Open your Bibles to Exodus, the 15th chapter and verse 26. Exodus 15 and verse 26. Amen. Glory to God. We're excited about the word. Amen. Praise his holy name forever. In Exodus, the 15th chapter, verse 26, the children of Israel have been delivered from bondage for years. If you all don't have your outlines, you all can pass the outlines out. Amen. The children of Israel have been delivered from the bondage of slavery. And they've crossed over the Red Sea, and they're going on to, they got their eyes on the promised land. And they come to a land called Mara, where the water is not good to taste. And they start complaining. Now, God has done great exploits in their life, but they still complain. And God is a merciful God. And he tells his man, he says, listen, just take a piece of the tree and drop it in the water. And when he did that, they went back to taste the water, and the water was sweet. And now, I shared this with the class on Saturday, and they got kind of excited, so I'm going to see where y'all set your thermometer at this evening. You know, now, the Old Testament is a shadow of the New. What we see in the Old Testament is manifested in the New. And so there's nothing in the Bible that's by accident. So here we see wood, a tree, placed in the water, bitter water. And when they place that tree in the water, they obey God, and they place that tree in the water turns sweet. First Peter 2:24 in the New Testament tells me this. Who his own self bare our sins, our sicknesses, in his own body on the tree. See, nobody else could do it but Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24. On the tree, he did this. That we, you and I, being dead to sin, well, sickness is a child of sin. So I could say being dead to sin, being dead to sickness, should live unto righteousness, or live in Christ Jesus, should live unto health and healing. Amen. By whose stripes you were healed. See, because this is afterwards. So if we go back to the children of Israel, we see that when the man of God obeyed and he put the tree in the water turned sweet. Well, through Christ Jesus, I don't know about you, he turned my bitter days into sweet. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. So they go on, and God tests them, verse 26 says. And he says, tell the children of Israel, Moses, if they will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do what is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For notice this statement, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Won't you pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you and praise you. We glorify you and magnify you. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are. We thank you for your presence here this evening, Lord God. Oh, Lord, a bug coming in the door would know that you are in this place, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your presence. And we come with a heart of expectancy, Lord God. Because any time that you're present, nothing is impossible with you. So, Father, we expect miracles just by the speaking of your word, Lord God. Now, Father, I ask that you allow Jonathan to decrease and the Lord Jesus Christ to increase. May the people see Jesus. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Father, as always, be glorified. Satan, I remind you of your pre-appointed place far below our feet. You've lost. These saints are in here being fed the word of God. And Father, we thank you for the victory that is ours. Holy Spirit, I give you total authority over this vessel. Use me as you see fit. Bring illumination and illustrations to my heart because you knew who would be here. And it's your desire, as is the Father, that everyone be set free. So use this vessel as you see fit. And Father, we do give you all the glory, the honor, and the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God. The children of Israel are drinking sweet water, and God tests them. And he says, look, this is what I want from you. I want obedience from you. Isaiah 1:19 tells me, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Okay? That's not just for the children of Israel. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And God's promises, God has all the power. But he wants us to believe in him. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. When you come to God, you must believe and know that he be God and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, if we find sickness and disease, can you take care of that for me, please? If we find sickness and disease being eradicated here in the Old Testament and in Jesus' walk, then we know that we can count on the Lord removing any sickness or disease that the enemy may have placed on us. Amen? Amen. Because he is no respecter of person. Amen? Amen. So in Exodus 15:26, he says, if you will diligently, and now notice, you can't just half-wittedly, you can't do it when you feel like it, okay? You got to be diligent about it. Okay, I don't know why we, well, I'll just put it like this. I'll put it on me, okay? I can't be diligent about going to work and be half-witted about serving God. Amen. Yet I want God to do something for me. Amen. Okay, all right, see, I put it all in my ballpark, okay? If I will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, in this dispensation, the voice of the Lord thy God could be whom? Holy Spirit, amen? And will do. So we're not just hearers of the words, but we're also what? Doers of the word, amen? Praise God, glory to God, amen. That which is right in his sight, not in my sight, not in pastor's sight, but in God's sight. And will give ear to his commandments and keep all his laws. Now, the Bible says, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, let me just take care of some sacred cows, first of all. God ain't got no sickness or disease to put on nobody. Okay? He says, I am. Now, that I am is found in Exodus 3:14, when Moses met him and he says, who shall I say sent me? He said, all you need to tell him is I am. You know, he is whatever we need him to be. Amen. Amen. And that I am means Jehovah, means that he is the completely self-existent one. You know, I said this to the class Saturday. Sometime I used to think that he needed some help. You know, I tell him I need some help with my finances, and he ain't moving fast enough, you know, so maybe he need me to get a second job. Uh-huh. Yeah, maybe it's just me. Okay, yeah. But no, he don't need no help. He's the completely self-existent one who don't need no help. He's God. Amen. He says, I am whatever you need me to be. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, let me share with you about that word healing. We're going to get a little deeper in it a little bit further. But the word healeth means rapha. It means to mend by stitching. It means to cure. See, you know, it's not like if I take some medicine and it take care of me for a little while, but after a while, it come back. See, because what we're going to find out tonight, the sickness and disease manifests itself physically, but it is a spiritual attack. And it can't be taken care of by sense, in the sense realm, in physical, by physical means. If it could, doctors would be richer than they are. Okay? But because it's spiritual, it has to be dealt with spiritually. And the Word of God is God, and it is spiritual. Okay? So, Rapha means to mend by stitching, to cure, to cause to heal. It means physician. It means repair. Thoroughly. Did you hear what I said? To repair thoroughly. Mean that when you grab a hold of the Word of God, that headache ain't coming back. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. It means to make whole. I like what is said in the book of Thessalonians, thank you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Hold your finger here and let me share something with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I think I've been praying in the Spirit so much I can't say English. 1 Thessalonians. There we go. 5:23. Are you there? Okay. And the very God of peace sanctify or sit you holy. Now that holy means complete. Amen. To the end, complete to the end, absolutely perfect. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus. In other words, God wants us completely whole, starting with our spirit, because we are spirit beings. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And he wants our soul, our thinking, to be renewed. Matter of fact, Romans 12:1-3 says that, first of all, the best thing that we can do, the least thing that we can do, is get this physical body to operate properly. Now, you've been born again, and the least thing that you can do is to make your physical body a living sacrifice. When I got born again, I was, and this is before Minister LaCour, okay? This is years ago, amen? Okay? So I was running the honeys, okay? Yeah, I wasn't born Minister Jonathan now, okay? That's why I can preach, because I know what the Word will do, amen? Okay? All right, praise God. And when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, you know, it was like a shock thing. You know, okay, how am I going to stop doing all these things that I've been used to doing? And my sister told me, she says, just take it one day at a time, one step at a time, okay? Because, you know, it was sort of like a chicken, you know, and you don't twist his neck. You don't kill him, and you put him on a barbecue pit, and all of a sudden he's under fire. You know, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's how Jonathan was. Okay, well, that's just me, I guess. Verse 2 We're going to get back to the word, okay, because y'all focusing too much on my past life, okay? Y'all can close your mouth now, okay? All right. Romans 12:2 says that you be, watch this word, transformed by the renewing of your mind, okay? Something called metamorphosis takes place there. Now, that word transformation is very interesting because we find when Jesus was up on the mount, he was transformed, okay? And they said that he glowed so radiant, okay? Now, what am I saying? What are you saying, Minister Jonathan? When you take the word of God and put it on the inside of you, from the inside out, you will radiate. See, your whole being will change. You know, you ever go back to those reunions, since we're going to talk about the past, you ever go back to those reunions, you know, those 10, I'm looking around, 20, yeah, reunions, I'll just stop at the 20-year reunion. I don't want to put nobody under five, okay? I done talked enough about me, okay? Amen, them 20-year reunions, and you know, the young lady that you thought was so fine, you know, you look at her, or you pass by her and you don't even recognize her. Why? Because she has not transformed. She's still in the world chasing the world. And the world has wore her out, okay? But here you are looking sharp and debonair and looking good. Why? Because he has renewed you like the eagle. Amen? Okay, and then verse 3 is spiritual. It talks about that we all have the same kind of faith. In other words, what are we going to do with our faith? Amen? Are we going to exercise our faith? Are we going to build our faith up? So it's spirit, soul, and body, and God wants us to be whole. All right. Okay, so let's get back to verse 26. So he is the Lord that has healed us. Another version says, for I am Jehovah, I am healing thee. Go with me to Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs, the third chapter. In Proverbs, the third chapter, the word of God says, starting at verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into this mass in between my ears. In all my ways, acknowledge him as Lord, and he'll direct my path. My pathway to healing may be different from my sister's pathway. Because God will meet you right where you are. God is so merciful, he wants us to be healed. And he'll meet you right where you are. Amen? In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct our path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverence the Lord and depart from evil. For the word of God, that it, in verse 8, goes back up to verse 1. My son, forget not my laws. So we're talking about the word of God. In verse 8, it says, it, the word of God, shall be health. Now, that word health in the Hebrew means medicine. To my navel or my lifeline and watering to my bones. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. For I am the Lord thy life giver. Oh, I like that. Well, let's go next door to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Proverbs 4, look at verse 20. My son, or I can put my name in there, Jonathan, attend to my words. I use the example here that when the Lord told me Minister LaCour was my wife, you know, I did tell her that she was my wife, and she laughed at me, okay? And, you know, I just found some scripture and just stood on that scripture, okay? And about 9-10 months later, dun, 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 dun. Amen? But in between there, I had to tend to Minister LaCour. Married men, anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, yeah. And what I tended to with Minister LaCour back when I was courting her, I still got to 10. Okay? And so the married women, they jump on this, don't they? They like this in covenant, you know? Yes, amen. Go ahead. They probably buy the CD so they can play it for their husband. Okay, and Minister Johnson said, don't get me in trouble with the brother in that. Okay, attending to my words, incline thy, watch this, ear unto my saying, let the word of God not depart from your eyes. Keep the word of God in the midst of your heart. For the word of God is life unto me who has found it. And there's that word again, health or medicine to how much of my flesh? To all of my flesh. So we see here that we have gateways to our heart. And the gateways to my heart are my ears and my eyes. Now also your mouth. Because as we go down a little bit further, it says don't have a froward mouth. Now, I used to think that that meant don't use no profanity. But that word froward means anything that don't line up with this word. It's off. Okay? That's why he said keep your eyes straight ahead. Don't be diverted. Keep your eyes and your heart focused on the word of God. For the word of God is what? Life to you who has found it. You can't find it with, you know, once you leave here, take your Bible home and keep it closed. You got to open your Bible, okay, because it's got to be life to you. Amen? Amen? Praise God. We know that it's God's will for us to walk in divine health because he has made us immune to them dead diseases. Now, I don't want y'all to jump all out in the aisle. You know, the class on Saturday, they got kind of excited when I went to the ghetto Bible and shared with them. That must be one of them Saturday people. Shared with them about Psalms 91. Anybody else like Psalms 91? Okay. All right. Well, did y'all come with your seatbelts? Okay. Let me see what Eugene says in the message, because he got a message here. Okay. All right. Okay. Now I'm gonna read verse 1-7. Okay. Now don't y'all out shout me reading. Okay. You sit down in the high God's presence. Spend the night in Shaddai's shadow. Say this, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you and I'm safe. That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day, not disease that prowls through the darkness, nor disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others succumb all around, drop like flies right and left, no harm will ever graze you. I think I want to grab a hold of that promise. Amen. I want to take it for myself. Okay, all right. Then, you know, he makes you immune to them their diseases. Look at verse 9-10. Yes, because God's your refuge, the high God, your very own home, evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. Y'all ready for verse 14? You ain't gonna leave me, are you? Okay. If you'll hold on to me, this is God speaking to you. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care. If you'll only get to know and trust me, call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation. Hallelujah. makes us immune to them dead diseases. Disease come down our street and they say, oh, wait a minute. That's that one that beat me up with that 91st Psalm. No. Hey, the rest of y'all back up. Don't go down this street. You're down the wrong street. Amen. So see, if I go back and I say in Exodus 15:26 that, oh, glory. For I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. I will not allow the diseases that came upon the Egyptians to come upon you. For I am, again, he's announcing he is Jehovah. He is God, the Lord that healeth thee. And what we say healeth means Rapha. It means what? To mend, to cure. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, divine health is relating to, proceeding from, or pertaining to God. It is a state of being whole. Healing is a process of being restored or cured. So if you're not, I use this illustration, if you're not quite at the point of divine health, you know, eating right and doing all the things, come on and start with tonight, let's get in the process of being in divine healing. Okay, because, you know, when we leave here, we all going home. We might stop at the, you know, Chipotle's or, you know, 7-Eleven, you know what I mean? We might stop and get a little Sunday, you know, because we've been fasting. Hashabashaba. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. But we're going to end up at the house. Okay, so that's the process to getting where we're going. Amen. Now, there's a difference between divine healing and medical healing. We thank God for the doctors, but the doctors get their wisdom from God. Medical healing is the study or, watch this word, practice of the science of medicine. Medicine is any agent or substance used in the, watch this word, treatment of disease or relief of pain. They are both only temporary. Treat means to behave or act toward. Relief is anything which decreases or lessens unpleasant conditions. But why not take God's prescription? Why not trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean unto your own understanding? Because his word is medicine to all of your flesh. Amen? Listen, we know that it's God's will for us to walk in divine health because when we went through our last time, we couldn't find no sickness in the beginning. God would say in Genesis, the first chapter, check it out when you get home, Genesis, the first chapter, God would change things by his word. He would speak the word of God, he would say it, and then he would go back and check out what he did, and he found out in every instance that it was good. Then we went up to the throne room, and Ike was up in the throne room in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, and Ike was up there, and he was checking things out, and he found out that God wasn't sitting just any kind of way. He's sitting high and lifted up, and his glory fills the temple. And you know, there was some on-duty angels called seraphims, and all they did that was worship God 24/7. And everywhere that they would look at God, they would say, he's holy. Oh, he's holy. My goodness, he's holy. And look, we think we worship God, but the scripture says that they worshiped God so much that they shook the posts up in heaven. Amen. Well, we couldn't find out that Jesus, you know, during his 3 years of ministry, you know, that he took sick leave, or as we say here at the office, wellness leave, okay? Because even when Jesus, who had stripped himself of his heavenly regality and took on the likeness of men, he understood grief. And his cousin, John, has been beheaded for, you know, being an outspoken preacher. And the scripture says that Jesus wanted to go off to a desert place. And as he went off to the desert place, the scripture says that the people came from Baltimore, Richmond, and West Virginia. okay, searching him out. Okay, now Jesus could have told his disciples, his PPAs, hold them back because I want to, you know, spend some time with the Lord. But the scripture says that Jesus was moved or motivated with compassion. Compassion, I like to say, is love in action. And he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Amen. Then we find out that there's no sickness up in heaven, because in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, they tell us that there is a tree there, and the leaves on that tree are for the healing of the nation. Well, we find out that, you know, it's got to be God's will for us to walk in divine health because of the redemption that he did for you and I. Redeem means to buy back, to pay off. It means a ransom. Ransom is the price demanded or paid for the release of a kidnapped person. Now, whether you realize it or not, I'll go back to Jonathan. I was bound up. I was in bondage. When I got paid, it was time for me to go do something, you know. It was time for me to have a good time. And good times for me was, you know, getting a little hit, you know, and before Minister LaCour, the honeys, okay? All right, and I was bound up like that. You know, that's what, that is payday, it's time to go get the hit. That's the way that I operated, okay? But I'm so glad that the blood of Jesus, oh, I see, I'm not the only one. I'm so glad that the blood of Jesus paid the price for me. Amen? It's that incorruptible blood. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth some of the time. Forever. Thank you all preachers. Amen. Glory to God. So that word ransom means that I was bought back. It's the payment for release. See, women, y'all not the only one that have been loosed. Okay? Glory to God. It's the payment for release of a person or property detained. Look at God's attitude towards sickness and disease. He loved mankind so much he gave his only begotten son for you and I. You know, when we look, I was sharing with you about the Old Testament in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. We know that God was looking for a man that he could trust or would believe in him, and he found it in Abraham. Abraham had been waiting for an heir for years, and finally, here he is, 99, 100 years old. He finally have a boy that is of the promise, not an Ishmael. See, God don't recognize Ishmaels. He only recognized the promise. Okay. So here we see the scripture says that God wanted to test Abraham, as if Abraham ain't been through enough. I'm glad he passed the test and he ain't come to Jonathan, okay? Because he tells him, he says, look, I want to know how much you love me. Take your son, your only son, and take him up on the mountain and I want you to sacrifice him. Now, you know, the Bible don't say nothing, but I'm quite sure it went through Abraham's mind. Yeah, say what? Okay. But we find out that Abraham took his son, his only son. Now, he was walking by faith because the scripture in the New Testament says that even though he saw the mount, he saw his son rising up. Because God had promised that his son would bring a heritage into the earth realm. And he knew that his God never lied. He takes his son up on the mountain, and he lays him out on the wood. And the son, you know, the boy wasn't no baby. He was around, history says, around 20, 22 years old. And here's Abraham, 100 years old. So here's complete obedience. He lays that boy out, and the boy says, Daddy, you know I love you. I see the wood that you're getting ready to lay me on. And here's the fire. But could you please tell me where the sacrifice is? And Abraham prophesied. He said, the Lord himself will provide. Now, because God is in covenant with Abraham, God had to provide his only son. We know that it's God's will for us to walk in divine health because of the redemption act. In Romans, the fifth chapter, Romans 5, look at verse 12, Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, who was that? Adam, okay? And death by sin. Now, Adam did die, but more importantly, Adam became separated from God. See, that was the more important death. Death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In other words, every man born of a man comes into the earth realm with what is called a sin nature. We don't train our babies to lie, but we tell the baby, baby, no more cookies, and we look and the baby come to us, and they got a crumb hanging out their mouth, and we say, baby, didn't I tell you no more cookies? I don't eat no more cookie, daddy. Well, that's their sin nature. They have to be, watch this word, born again, okay? And that born again comes through the corruptible word of God, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Look at verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15 and 45. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam, being Christ, was made a quickening spirit. So here we see, we have to go back to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, Isaiah 53. This is a record of Christ's substitutionary sacrifice. Isaiah 53, look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord, we're talking about the Father, Jehovah, to bruise him. Now we're talking about Jesus. Now that word bruise means to crumble, to beat to pieces, to break, to crush, contrite, to destroy or oppress. So it pleased the Father because of justice to bruise him. He had put him to grief. That word grief means sickness or disease. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see of his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now, let's look at a couple of things. Let's look at this word seed. In Genesis, the third chapter, verse 15, we find that man has fallen, he has disobeyed God, and God goes to him. Evidently, they met at a certain time, all the time in the garden, and he goes to Adam. And God wasn't looking for Adam. We talking about Almighty God, and we talking about a man hiding from Almighty God. God was saying in the Hebrew, do you realize what you have done? Romans testifies that because it says that all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because when Adam disobeyed, everything fell. He opened the door for sin, sickness, and disease to enter into the earth realm. But we see that Adam didn't own up to what he had done. He said it was the woman that God had given him. The woman turned around and she said, it's the snake. God gets to the snake and he tells the snake, he says, you're going to crawl on your belly. Evidently, the snake had some legs or something, you know, where he could get around. And he was a special pet for the woman. And he says, you're going to crawl on your belly. And then he talks to the spirit in the snake. And he says, her seed will take authority over your seed. Now, that's good to know, because God didn't hold it against the woman. Right away, he gets the woman an opportunity to get the devil back. Now, woman ain't got no seed. So God must have been talking about a supernatural seed. We call it incarnation. Now, when we go to the book of Luke and the book of Mark, we see that Jesus is talking about a parable. And he says that the word of God is a seed. Corinthians also tells us about the incorruptible seed. So let's call this seed the word of God. We go back to the book of Luke, and we see that there is a little virtuous girl, Mary is her name. She gets a visitation from a carrier of this seed, the word of God. Gabriel comes to her and he tells her, hey, you, I have been selected upon all the women in the universe to bring the Messiah into the earth realm. And she's, you know, first of all, you know, she won't know how in the world did this 8, 10, 12 foot archangel come in here? You scaring me. And so he tells her right away, he says, no, baby, you got to fear not, because faith and fear are incompatible roommates. She got to believe him, okay? So he calms her nerves down and tells her to fear not. And then she says, how can this be, seeing as I don't know a man? And he says, hey, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you, and that which you will bear in your womb will be holy. It will come through the Holy Ghost. Now, the only thing, and I learned this from my wife, and I had to go back and check it out, but it's the truth. The only thing that can come against the Word of God is your will. You remember in Luke, the 22nd chapter, we find that Jesus is in the garden. He is at a fork in the road, and he's got an opportunity, you know, to decide whether or not Jonathan is worth it or whether or not I'm going on back to heaven, you know. But he asked the Father, he says, Daddy, is it any kind of other which way we can do this thing? Because I know my boys are going to leave me who have been with me for 3 years. I know that they are going to whip me 39 stripes, one within life and death. He says, but the most important thing is, for the first time ever, I'll be separated from you. And I've never been separated from you. See, because God cannot stay in the presence of sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells me he who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, became sin for you and I. In other words, sin was placed on his sinless spirit. Sickness was placed on his sickless spirit. So that when we go to this 52nd chapter of Isaiah, verse 14, the scripture says, when they looked at him, he was indescribable as a man. Now, Isaiah 53:4 tells us that we looked at you and we despised you because we thought that you were a curse. Well, he was a curse, because 1 Peter tells us that he hung on the tree. But before he ever got to the tree, see, passion started back in the garden. Passion really started at the Last Supper, okay? But that passion is shown wherein Jesus, he takes the sins and the sicknesses of the world upon himself, and he says the same thing that Mary says. He accepts that word. He accepts his faith. He says, not what I will, but your will be done. Now, let's get back to his mother back there in the first chapter of Luke. Mother Mary says, be it unto me according to thy word. Now, that's amazing. And I want to show you something. When you take on the word of God, no matter what it look like, no matter what the doctor say, no matter what your pocketbook say, when you take on the word concerning prosperity, when you take on the word concerning healing, when you take on the word concerning deliverance, you become pregnant with what that word says. Will you bring it forth?
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
So here we see in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul. Now, we've gone there in Luke 22:39-42, because Jesus did travail. and shall be satisfied, or justice shall prevail. His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Matthew 8, 16, 17 confirms what Jesus did. Go with me there very quickly. Matthew, the 8th chapter. We know that it's God's will for us to walk in divine health because we've been redeemed. Can I get the redeemed of the Lord to say so? Amen. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Somebody being healed right now. Glory to God. When the even was come, they brought unto Jesus many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed how many? All that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken in Isaiah, the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Go with me to that fourth verse of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. It says, surely, or without a doubt, truly he hath. Do you notice that word hath? Hath is what kind of tense? It's already done. In other words, when the word was spoken, in the eyes of God, it was already done. Before Jesus' feet hit the ground, we were already redeemed. Amen. Surely, without a doubt, he had, y'all hold me down there, he hath borne. That word born means accept, advance, arise, able to suffer. It means to bear, to bring. It means to, watch this word, carry away. It means to cast. It means to forgive. It means to furnish. It means further give out. It means to help. Oh, it means to hold. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It means to raise up and to receive. Glory to God. Surely he has carried away. There's that word again, sickness, pain, disease, and carried our sorrows. Sorrows mean pain, yet we looked on him as a curse. But he was tormented for our transgressions. You know, sometimes God tells me to do something, and I really don't want to do it. But thank God I can repent quickly, and he forgives me. He was bruised for our shortcomings, our sins. The chastisement necessary for my peace was upon Jesus. And when his stripes, by and by I'm going to be healed. With his stripes, I am healed. Okay? You know, because this is my Bible. But if I give my Bible to Sister Ramona, and I ask Sister Ramona, Sister Ramona, I need you to bear my Bible away. Just go on and take it on away. Take it out of here. Take my Bible away. Now, Jesus took the cross outside of the city. Go ahead, baby. Bear it away. Gone. I thought she was gone. Chris, do you have this much trouble? Watch out, man. Watch out. So Ramona is bearing the Bible away. Amen. Okay. So when I need my Bible, do I have it?
No.
Why? She took it well. Away. Amen. Jesus took your sickness. Jesus carried your pain. So why do you keep calling it my headache? Why do you keep calling it my arthritis? When you're in covenant with Jesus, you're one with Jesus. Okay, Ramona, you can come on back because I'm going to need my Bible, honey. Thank you, sweetie. Chris was quiet, too. He don't want to get in trouble. Amen. Jesus took your and my sins and sicknesses away so we don't have to have them, okay? Y'all know my story. The mad women get a chance to smile twice, okay? I used to be a district firefighter, okay? Minister LaCour ain't slid a pole, ain't drove a fire truck. But the first of the month, because she's in covenant with me, she can go to the bank. One day I'm going to be able to preach this by myself. I guess it had to just be all single people in here. She can go to the bank, and she can take advantage of everything that's in the Bible because she in covenant with me. But notice this. She got to use the name. The bank teller can recognize her face. She can sign, give me $100. And if she signed it in her maiden name, she won't get a dime. It's got to be in the name. We know that it's God's will for us to walk in divine health because of his word. He sent his word and what? Healed us and delivered us from our destructions. Amen. Genesis 1:1-4 says, God said, God saw, and it was good. Isaiah 55:11 tells us that his word will never return to him void or empty. Okay? He put his word out there. He is the healer. He ain't going to take it back. Malachi tells us that he don't change. Hebrews 13:8 tells us Jesus is the same. Jesus is the word. Okay? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? Now, let me show you this. Go with me to John, the first chapter. John, the first chapter. We know that it's God's will for us to walk in divine health because of his word. He sent his word and healed me. Okay? Here we go. You there? In the beginning was the what? And the word was what? And the word was what? So God and his word are one. The same was in the beginning with God. Who? No, don't get spiritual on me. Who? The word. Okay? All things were made by who? By who? Okay, all right. Okay. Let me share something with you. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Or one translation says, we understand that at the command of God's word, the worlds were framed. So when you speak the word of God, God and his word are one. Okay? Whatever God can do, his word can do. Now, I'm going to take you a little bit further. You ready? Okay. He sent his word. He, God the Father, sent who? Jesus, the word. And he healed you. Okay? Now, whatever God can do, his word can do. So God's word in your mouth, as a child of God, you can do the same thing. Come on over here. Come on over here to John. See, I'm teaching you all something different now. Come on over here to John, the 14th chapter. Technicians, hush. John, the 14th chapter. In John, the 14th chapter, the head of the church says, truly, truly. Now, anytime Jesus says truly, he wants you to pay attention. But when he says truly, truly, he getting ready to tell you something that's going to shake your head and bat your eyes. He says, truly, truly, I tell you the truth. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, I can't do, if Jesus' works are 10, I can't do an 11. But Jesus is Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus of Nazareth, in order for him to heal somebody here in Gaithersburg, he would have to get on an airplane and leave Nazareth and come over here. Okay? But the nightmare that the enemy had was when he crucified Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2 chapter said that. If he'd had any idea the result of it, Mom, he would not have crucified the Lord. He'd have pushed the blood back up in there. Because when Jesus went in the ground, he was a seed. And he brought forth all these other Jesuses. Okay? So there's a Jesus in Nazareth. We know about that one. Okay, but there's also a Jesus in Gaithersburg. There's a Jesus in Germantown. Okay? All right? And that is really a nightmare for the devil. Now, how in the world, Jesus, am I going to do these works? I'm glad you asked. Come on over here to the 10th verse. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Watch this. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he do the works. Some of y'all got it. I'm going to read it slow this time. Believest thou not, Jesus talking, that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Watch this. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So when I speak my Father's words, I get my Father's works. Look at it again. Jesus, our example. Believest thou not that I am in the Father? How many are in the Father? And the Father live in them. Amen. If you're not, we'll pray for you. The words that I speak unto you, I don't speak Jesus of Nazareth words, but I speak my Father's words. And when I speak my Father's words, I get my Father's works. Come on now. Y'all say it with me. When I speak my Father's words, I get my Father's works. When I speak my Father's words, I get my Father's works. One more time. When I speak my Father's words, I get my Father's works. So, your child been attacked with sickness or disease, you ain't got to wait for the pastor. You just go in your Bible, which is the sword of the Spirit, and you cut that little sickness devil down to size, because you are Jesus here on the earth. And you speak your Father's words, and what you get? You get your Father's words. Father, we thank you and praise you. We glorify you and magnify you. We thank you for all that you've taught us tonight. We thank you, Father God, that you love us so much that we know that it is your will that we walk in divine health. Father, we thank you that we are redeemed. We say so. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us your word, Lord God. And Father, we stand firm on that word. We leave here assured that we are the healed. And Father, for this we do give you much praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that prayer, let it be known by saying amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. If we